الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Views on Madani Channel, welcome back once again to another episode of this silsila entitled, O You Who Believe. In this series, in this silsila, we take a look at those verses of the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, the Lord of all the worlds, calls out to the believers in his final revelation with a beautiful address, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O You Who Believe. In these beautiful verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us messages of guidance, particularly addressed to the believers. Insha'Allah azawajal, in today's episode, we'll be looking at another such verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the believers with these words, O you who believe. And we'll be looking at another topic based on the teachings that that blessed verse contains. And we'll be seeing what pearls of wisdom and guidance we can extract for ourselves from this blessed verse of the Quran and the teachings that the scholars have written in light of it. Before moving on to today's verse and today's topic, I'll share with you a blessing of reciting Durood Sharif, reciting peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's reported that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, أَكْثِرُ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَيَّ. Recite peace and blessings, recite salawat, recite Durood Sharif upon me in abundance. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ زَكَاةٌ لَكُمْ. For indeed, your recitation of peace and blessings upon me is a means of purification for you. Subhanallah. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَبَارَكَ وَسَلَّمْ. In today's episode of O You Who Believe, we'll be looking at Surah Al-Ma'idah, and towards the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, in fact the second verse, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the believers, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, لَا تُحِلُّوا شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ وَلَا الشَّهَرَ الْحَرَامَ وَلَا الْهَدْيَ وَلَا الْقَلَائِدَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, O you who believe, لَا تُحِلُّوا شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Do not violate the sanctity of the signs of Allah. وَلَا الشَّهْرَ الْحَرَامِ, nor of the sacred month. وَلَا الْحَدِيَ, nor of the animal sent to the haram for sacrifice. وَلَا الْقَلَائِدَ, and neither of those animals which were given special collars or badges as a sign that they were to be given for sacrifice. وَلَا آمِّينَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ, and nor of those people who intend to visit the sacred house. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرِضْوَانًا, who seek bounty from their Lord and pleasure. So in this verse of the Holy Quran, in this first part of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed a number of things and prohibited the believers from violating their sanctity. This verse of the Quran gives us the lesson, teaches us the lesson of respect, reverence, honor, of adab and ta'zeem. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, has forbidden the believers from violating the sanctity of sha'air Allah, the signs of Allah. And elsewhere in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever respects the signs of Allah, whoever respects the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed that is from the piety of the heart. That is from the taqwa of the heart. Subhanallah. So the question arises, what are sha'airullah? What are the symbols of Allah whose sanctity we must not violate, who we must respect, honor, and revere? In the tafsir of this verse, the scholars state that there are many signs and symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs and symbols of Islam, the signs and symbols of our religion. For example, the prayer, salah, this great pillar of Islam, this is classified as being one of the symbols of Allah. Similarly, the adhan, the call to prayer, is also classified as one of the signs of Allah. The signs of Allah have also been mentioned elsewhere in the Holy Quran. In particular, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that two blessed mountains are also from amongst their signs. Subhanallah. What are those two mountains? Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, the mountains of Safa and Marwa are from the signs of Allah. From this, the scholars teach us, in the light of the background of this verse, in light of the reason why Safa and Marwa became blessed. The Safa and Marwa are those mountains between which the blessed wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the blessed mother of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, Sayyidatuna Hajra radiyallahu anha, walked between, ran between, in search for water for her son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, who at that time was just a small baby. Because this pious person, because this pious lady, this waliya of Allah, this pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidatuna Hajar radiyallahu anha, this pious waliya, because she ran from mountain of Safa to Marwa and from Marwa to Safa and back and forth 7 times, because of the nisbah, because of the connection, because of the relationship that these two mountains have with this waliya, with this pious lady, with this pious saint of Allah, because of the connection of these two mountains with this pious lady, they became from amongst the signs of Allah. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those things which are linked, which have a connection to His pious people, to His pious servants. And when it comes to respecting the awliya, it's very, very important for us to realize the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a special status in His court. The awliya, the pious people, the saints of Allah, it states regarding them in the hadith Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Almighty declared, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Allah Almighty declares, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, whoever bears enmity towards a wali of mine, Allah Almighty says, فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, then indeed I will declare war against that person. The awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have such a great status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are those who are the beloved of Allah. Because of that special love that Allah Azza wa Jalla has for them, if anybody disrespects them, if anybody has enmity to those awliya, Allah Almighty Himself declares war against such a misfortunate individual. And the awliya are those about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared in the Holy Quran in Surah Yunus verse 62, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Listen carefully. Without doubt, there is no fear nor any grief upon the friends of Allah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe and are consistently pious. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. For them are glad tidings in the worldly life and in the hereafter. لا تبديل لكلمات الله. There is no change in the words of Allah. ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. That is the great success. And with regards to the status of the awliya and the respect of the awliya, and how they become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith Qudsi that I've just quoted, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Allah says, whoever has enmity to a wali of mine, I declare war against that person. The hadith doesn't stop there. Allah Almighty continues and says, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My slave does not come closer to me by means of anything more beloved to me than that which I have obligated upon him, that which I have made compulsory upon him. Meaning, Allah Almighty is declaring that the true servant of Allah, the true slave of Allah, he gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost by fulfilling all of the obligations that Allah Almighty has placed upon him, all of the compulsory actions of Islam. Allah Almighty continues and says, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Hadith Qudsi that my slave continuously comes closer to me. My slave continuously moves closer to me by means of nawafil. حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. Until I love that servant. Until I love that person. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمَعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. And when I love that person, I become his hearing through which he hears. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. And I become his eyesight through which he sees. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And I become his hand through which he holds. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And I become his legs, his feet through which he walks. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he loves a person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that I become his hearing through which he hears. I become his eyesight through which he sees. Now what does this mean? Obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't physically become the hearing of that person. Allah Almighty doesn't physically become the eyesight of that person. So what does it mean by these words? Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi rahimahullah, he explains the words of the hadith and he says that when Allah Almighty declares that I become the hearing of the wali through which he hears, I become the eyesight of the wali through which he sees. What this means is that إِذَا صَارَ نُورُ جَلَالِ اللَّهِ لَهُ سَمَعًا سَمِعَ الْقَرِيبَ وَالْبَعِيدِ. That when the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the special blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shower down upon that person, that special light that Allah Almighty showers down and sends down upon that person, that light comes into that person's hearing. When the blessings of that light come into that person's hearing, سَمِعَ الْقَرِيبَ وَالْبَعِيدِ, that wali of Allah, that pious person, is able to hear from near and from far. وَإِذَا صَارَ نُورُ جَلَالِ اللَّهِ لَهُ بَصَرًا رَعَى الْقَرِيبَ وَالْبَعِيدِ. And when that blessed light, the blessings of that light sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into the eyesight of that person, then that person gains the ability to see from near and from far. When the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into the hands of that person, when the blessings of Allah azza wa jal descend and enter the hands of that person, the hands of that person now do not just contain the ability that a normal hand would contain, but now the ability of those hands is increased. Now, قَدَرَ عَلَى التَّسَرُّفِ فِي السَّعْبِ وَالسَّهْلِ وَالْقَرِيبِ وَالْبَعِيدِ. That person gains the ability to influence matters, to assist, to aid in difficulties and in ease, and from near and from far. And this is the status of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with regards to the verse of the Holy Quran that we began with, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the believers to honor, to respect the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those things which are connected to the awliya Allah, those things that have a connection with these respected servants of Allah. To the extent that in Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah Almighty narrates the story of the companions of the cave, those pious young men who went into solitude, who went into the cave, went into seclusion in order to protect their iman, in order to protect their deen, in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story is a lengthy one. In that story, the dog of Ashabul Kahf is mentioned. The dog that went with them, the dog that stayed outside the cave with its four legs stretched out. That dog is also mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah Almighty mentions in verse 18 of Surah Al-Kahf, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. Their dog has stretched his forelegs at the threshold, at the entrance of the cave. So this dog, due to its respect for the awliya, this dog is mentioned in the Holy Quran. The scholars mention that one of the few animals that will enter paradise in the form of human beings is this particular dog. The dog of Ashab al-Kahf will enter paradise in the form of a human being. Now, viewers of Madani Channel, we should reflect that if this animal will enter Jannah due to its connection with the pious saints of Allah, we are human beings. We are ummatis of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imagine the endless blessings that we can gain if we link ourselves with the awliya of Allah. Coming back to the verse that we began with, Allah Almighty says, O you who believe, do not violate the sanctity of the signs of Allah. وَلَا الشَّهَرَ الْحَرَامِ And nor of the sacred months. The sacred months, these months were those months where even before the revelation of the Qur'an, even before the advent of Islam, even in the time of ignorance, even in the time of Jahiliyyah, the Arabs had a tradition that they would not fight in 4 months of the year. Those 4 months of the year, three of them are together, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram, and the fourth of them is Rajab. These 4 months were considered as sacred, and the sanctity of these months was accepted even by the Arabs in the time of Jahiliyyah. So Allah Almighty has declared that these sacred months must not be violated. Their sanctity must be upheld and preserved. Then Allah Almighty says, وَلَا الْهَدِيَ وَلَا الْقَلَائِدَ Al-Hadi refers to the animal who is sent to the Haram for sacrifice. And when people would go to perform the Hajj, then in previous generations, they would take an animal with them to sacrifice. Nowadays, the animals are already present there, and the animals are sacrificed during the Hajj period. But in earlier generations, people would take their own animals with them as a sacrifice, as an offering in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And qala'id were the special collars or the badges or the garlands, the signs that would be put onto those animals to show that this animal has been dedicated to be sacrificed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This animal has this connection, has this link, as it is going to be made a means of sacrifice in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, a means of gaining reward, a means of gaining closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this part of the verse, has even declared the sanctity of those animals, and the sanctity of those marks, those symbols, those garlands that were placed onto those animals. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because they were becoming a means of gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they were those animals which would be sacrificed by the pilgrims, by those performing Hajj. And these were those animals which would be presented as an offering by those people in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of that link to the court of Allah azza wa jal, Allah Almighty even ordered that the sanctity of these animals should be preserved. And here the scholars of Tasawwuf, they mention a beautiful point. They say that these animals did not choose themselves to be sacrificed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not of their own doing. It was not from their own free will that they have been dedicated to be sacrificed in the court of Allah azza wa jal. And yet still, despite this fact, Allah Almighty has declared their sanctity in the Holy Quran. So now, what would be the case? What would be the sanctity? What would be the honor? What would be the respect of those individuals? Those pious human beings, those servants of Allah, those awliya of Allah Almighty, those friends of Allah, those saints of Allah, who with their own free will sacrifice every desire of their nafs in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who spend their entire lives sacrificing themselves, sacrificing their own desires, and spending each and every waking moment in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sacrifice their own worldly desires, who live within this world but do not live for this world, who live in this world but do not let the world enter their heart. Those blessed people who with their own free will, they come, and it's as if they come presenting the sacrifice of themselves in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's as if they come and they sacrifice their nafs, their own desires in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. out of their own free will, what would be the respect, the reverence, the honor, and the sanctity that such blessed individuals deserve because of their closeness and their attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَلَا آمِّينَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرِضْوَانًا. And do not violate the sanctity of those who intend to visit the sacred house, those who are going for Hajj, those who are going to perform the pilgrimage. Do not violate their sanctity. Give them respect. Those who seek virtue from Allah and His pleasure. So here, it's important for us to note that when we have the honor of traveling to the Haramain, those people who are around us, those people who are also on that secret journey, it's very important for us to realize the rights that they have. And because the Hajj period is a period which is very busy, there's rush at that time, the crowds are huge, because of the physical strain that is put on the body, the mental stress that a person goes through during those days of Hajj, because of the fact that sometimes it can be daunting when in such a crowd, sometimes emotions can run high, and sometimes it can be difficult to control one's anger, and sometimes people can become upset, people can become angry, even because of the smallest of things, things which wouldn't make them angry in a normal situation. And this is part of the test, this is part of the training of the Hajj, and this is part of the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should ensure that we are respectful to our fellow Muslims, to our fellow brothers in Islam. And we should ensure that we do not violate any of their rights, or we fulfill the rights of companionship, and we do not commit any type of evil during that sacred pilgrimage. And doing so, ensuring that we are respectful to everybody, we don't violate anybody's rights, we don't hurt anybody's feelings. This is one of the most important things that we should remember if we are given the blessing and the honor of traveling for Hajj. Then in this verse, Allah says, وَإِذَا حَلَلْتُمْ فَاصْطَادُوا. When you come out of Ihram, then you may hunt. Previously, in the verse before this, it was mentioned that it is not permissible to hunt in the state of Ihram. So here, the permission is given that once a person comes out of Ihram, it becomes permissible to hunt once again. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَن صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَن تَعْتَدُوا. Allah Azza wa Jal says that do not allow the hatred of a nation because of them blocking you from Masjid al-Haram to incite you to transgression. This is an instruction that was given to the Sahaba Kiram alayhim ridwan, those of them from amongst the Muhajirun who had migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah, who had left their own land in Makkah al-Mukarramah, who had left everything that they had, left their families, left their businesses, left their places of birth, their hometowns, left their houses. And they'd been tortured and tormented to such an extent that they were forced to leave their own town. They were forced to leave their own homes. And in one sense, they were exiled from the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And for many, many years, the mushrikeen of Makkah, the disbelievers, they prevented the Muslims. They put hurdles in the way, they put obstacles in the way, and did not allow the Muslims to come and visit the house of Allah, to come and visit Masjid al-Haram. Now, many years later, when the Muslims gained strength, and the Muslims were approaching Makkah al-Mukarramah to conquer it, at this time, the Muslims would enter Makkah al-Mukarramah victorious, as conquerors, powerful. Now, this would be their chance to gain revenge. This would be an occasion where they would pay back those disbelievers, those mushrikeen, those polytheists, for all of the torture that they had committed against them. But the teachings of Islam are so beautiful. Subhanallah. On this occasion, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah as the conqueror of Makkah, as a victorious leader of a huge army, when all of those individuals were in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, those who had tortured him, who had tortured his family, who had tortured his companions, those who had stopped them from entering their own homeland, those who had committed a huge number of atrocities against the Muslims, against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. On this day, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you today are free. Antum al-tulaqa. The beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam declared that there will be no revenge on this day. And the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam forgave them for that oppression. In this part of the verse of the Quran, Allah Almighty is saying and declaring and teaching that the hatred of a nation because they blocked you from Masjid al-Haram, this should not incite you to transgress against them. Just because somebody committed oppression against you, this does not mean that you should transgress against them. This does not mean that you should cross the limits when dealing with them. Allah Almighty then says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And help one another, assist one another, aid one another upon righteousness and piety. Birr and taqwa. The scholars mention that birr refers to acting upon the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and here taqwa refers to refraining from those things which Allah Almighty has forbidden. So when it comes to these things, righteousness and piety, acting upon the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and refraining from those things which Allah Almighty has forbidden, we as believers should assist one another. We should help one another. And this teaches us the importance of good company. If we are in good company, then we will be able to assist one another and help one another and aid one another in goodness, in acts of righteousness. And if we adopt good company, then we will be amongst those who do so. And when choosing a friend, when selecting a friend, we should choose those who act upon this verse, who at the time of prayer remind us of our salah, who encourage us to perform good deeds, who remind us to recite the Holy Quran, who encourage us to act upon the sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah Almighty says, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not assist each other. Do not aid one another upon sin and transgression. So from this we learn that helping somebody to commit a sin is a sin in itself. So in this is a lesson for those unfortunate individuals who, for example, may run a cinema. And in running a cinema, they are facilitating sins for people. And some of those people, unfortunately, out of their ignorance, out of their lack of knowledge, they might say that, I don't personally watch the films or the movies. It's other people who do. I'm just the owner of the cinema. Views of Adani Channel. Here Allah Almighty is declaring, in no uncertain terms, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not assist one another upon sin and transgression. So that individual who is assisting people, who is facilitating sin for people, who is giving people the opportunity to sin, he is assisting them and aiding them in that sin. He too is a criminal in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's important for us to always remember, especially in the age of social media, in the age of the internet, in the age of all the various applications which we have on our mobile phones and our PC tablets, that we should be using this technology and social media in the right way, in the positive way, to spread righteousness and piety, to assist one another, to assist our fellow Muslim brothers, our fellow brothers in Islam, upon righteousness and piety, not to assist them in committing sins. And sometimes we get a message, and that message might contain a sin. That message might be a sinful message. If somebody gets a sinful message, for example, it might be a rude and vulgar joke, a joke containing foul language, to forward that joke would be to assist somebody in committing a sin. To make that sin available for somebody else. It might be that somebody has a channel on a particular website. Somebody may have uploaded videos on the internet. And those videos may be of things which are not acceptable in Islam. They may contain music, they may contain other things which Islam has forbidden. Now that person has made that sin available for millions of people across the world. And this is, you could say, one of the worst cases of continuous sin. When a person has uploaded sinful content onto the internet, whether that be via social media, whether that be via social networking, whether that be via channels upon which people can watch videos, when a person has uploaded that sinful content onto the internet, that person might be sleeping. And at that time, thousands of people might be committing a sin because of that content he uploaded. Even in the state of sleep, that person will be getting a share of the sin of those people who are committing that sin, without their sin being reduced in any way. Even after a person leaves this world, that content may continue to remain on the internet, may continue to remain on these social networking websites. Even after a person has left this world, he may continue to face the punishment and to face the sin of those actions, of those sinful material which he uploaded in the world. It's very, very important to realize that one day we will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one day we will have to answer and give account for all of the things that we did in this world. After this, Allah Almighty, at the end of the verse, says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ and fear Allah. If we fear Allah, if we have consciousness of Allah, then at all times, we will remember everything that we've learned from this verse. We will remember to respect those things which are the signs of Allah. And coming towards the end of the verse, we will remember that it's our duty as believers to assist one another in righteousness and in piety, not in sin and transgression. So when somebody is tempted to forward a video, somebody is tempted to forward a message that contains a sin, to upload something which is impermissible, to give impermissible comments on a particular website, comments which may contain lying, backbiting, swearing, foul language. If a person has fear of Allah and consciousness of Allah, he will realize that my Lord has ordered me in the Quran to refrain from assisting other Muslims in sin and transgression. But rather my job as a believer is to assist my fellow Muslim brothers in righteousness and piety. When a person remembers that, he will refrain from that sin. Allah Almighty ends the verse by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Indeed, the punishment of Allah is severe. Views of Madani Channel. In today's episode of All You Who Believe, we learnt about the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in light of the second verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And in this particular verse, Allah Almighty addressed the believers and ordered the believers not to violate the sanctity of those things which are the signs of Allah, those things which are sacred in Islam. In this particular verse, Allah Almighty also gave this lesson to us that as believers, we should assist one another in righteousness and in piety and not in sin and transgression. Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah that we have the blessing of this Madani environment of Dawat Islami. In the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, assisting one another in piety and righteousness is found in abundance. If you travel in the Madani Qafilas of Dawat Islami, you attend the weekly Ijtima'at, the weekly gatherings of Dawat Islami in your area, start to be affiliated with the local representatives of Dawat Islami in your area, attend the Madrasatul Madina Balighan classes, classes for adults to learn the basics of Islam. These are all means of assisting one another in piety and in righteousness. When you travel in the Madani Qafilas of Dawat Islami, the Muballighin of Dawat Islami assist you in piety and righteousness. We have an opportunity to assist our fellow Muslim brothers in piety and righteousness. We have the opportunity to learn how to give dars, to learn how to preach the message of Islam. We learn how we can deliver the knowledge that we have gained to others in an authentic and righteous way. When we attend the Madrasatul Madina Balighan classes, these classes, which are held in evenings, all around the world, all over the UK, in particular for the English-speaking viewers who are in the UK, in South Africa, in other places of the world, these Madrasatul Madina Balighan classes are held in Masajid in the evenings, run by the Muballighin of Dawat Islami, who teach free of charge the Holy Quran, how to recite the Holy Quran with tajweed, how to recite the Holy Quran correctly, how to perform our salah correctly, how to perform our wudu correctly, correcting out the basics of our deen. These are all means of ta'awun, of assisting, of helping in the achievement of piety and righteousness. These are Madani Channel. It's a humble request that you affiliate yourselves to this environment. Keep watching Madani Channel. Become a practical part of Dawat Islami. Come and stand on the platform of Dawat Islami and physically become a part of Dawat Islami. You will see, inshaAllah, what Dawat Islami holds in store for you. You will see that Dawat Islami will be the means of your life changing the means of putting you onto the path of piety, the means of you attaining success in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand the teaching of the Quran. May Allah Almighty give us the ability to become true and perfect believers. May Allah Almighty enlighten our hearts with the nur of the Quran. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam.